Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is the Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula Nunes, and I need to put Taz on the... Wait a minute. And Taz, are you there?
I am here, Paula. We can't help but not have a great day today with Tom in our corner.
Oh, I know. We've done our more than benevolent outcome before this show, Tom.
Well, Tom, everyone loves the business you're in. For you tell us that you have discovered an easier path, which we all can take to lower our stress and fear of daily life and increase our spirituality. You wrote the book that you have for all faith and beliefs. So it matters not whether you're a Christian or a Jew or Muslim or Buddhist or any faith that believes in a higher source. Your inspirational new book supports us very, very well. The Gentle Way is the name of the book. It's a self-help guide for those who believe in angels. And the book shows you how to connect with your guardian angel and other angels on a daily basis as you travel, work, and in your personal home life. And like Paula and I joke around, we use our MBOs all the time.
Well, no matter where Tom goes, he shares this beautiful message. Tom, how long have you been doing this?
I've actually been doing this probably over 13 years now. I would like to, before we kind of get into this and everything, because of all the news stories that have been on about Mumbai, I'd like to talk about one chapter of my book just for a second. And it's called Living Prayers, although now I tend to call them benevolent prayers for people to understand what they are. But again, these are non-religious prayers, but they're spiritual. And it's for when you hear something happening like what's happening and has been happening in Mumbai, you feel like, gosh, I wish I could do something. Your heart goes out to the people that were injured or the families of the people that were killed and everything. And so a benevolent prayer, you can say, in this case would be, I ask any and all beings to assist, comfort, protect, and bring to safety all the people threatened in Mumbai, India. Thank you. And there, it's this great power of prayer that I've been told by my guardian angel is much more powerful than even I or anyone can possibly imagine.
And that's actually in your book, that prayer?
Yes, although not that quote. I was told that recently by in a meditation with my guardian angel.
So when did this all first started to come to you?
Oh, gosh. Well, do we want to take it all the way back since we're,
oh, sure. We're
maybe we're going to talk about abundance today for people,
yeah.
Because I know from my end, I'm getting lots of people that are really stressed and really concerned about finances and everything. And hopefully on today's program, we'll give them a few tools to be able to use to make their last life less stressful, if I can say that, and less fearful, okay?
Well, Tom, we'll just give a little, like, Reader's Digest version of how you got involved in this, because
okay.
We have time to really go through all of this. So,
okay.
Okay,
Reader's Digest, yeah. Do you want me to start at the 13 years ago or before that?
13 years ago when it first started coming to you and how you put it in a book and, well, when you first started receiving messages.
Sure. Okay, well, 13 years ago, I was, you know, just like everybody else, always out looking and learning and trying to understand my life and why we're here and all that good stuff, just like most of the people, I'm sure, that are listening to this program are. And at that time, of course, there's a magazine, a national or international magazine called the Sedona Journal of Emergence. And in it, they had a lot of really neat articles that were channeled and everything. And one day I read an article that was channeled by Robert Shapiro, And the channel message said, well, you can request benevolent things for your life. And that just kind of clicked with me. I didn't understand why at the time. And I started really small. I started requesting benevolent outcomes just like a lot of people do with your prayer angel for a parking angel, I should say, for a parking space. And it worked perfectly. And I slowly broadened out these requests for benevolent outcomes for all sorts of things, my drives to the post office or things like that, and it got into my business. I started requesting benevolent outcomes in my business for my business negotiations and things like that, and it just absolutely worked perfectly. And I'd never found a tool like that, so So I kept experimenting with this, and eventually I even wrote an article for the Sedona Journal of Emergence, which was extremely well received, and they even put it up on their website and things like that. And I called it another tool for your toolbox, and I felt it is a tool that you can use along with others. That but this particular tool is so easy to use; it doesn't require any real study or work or anything. It just requires doing it often to make it a habit.
And it does become a habit.
Yeah.
Well, like this morning, I took the dog out for a walk, so I asked for an MBO for the walk. So even the little smallest things, it's important to ask for that. I've come to find out.
Exactly, and when we walk our dogs in the morning, I do exactly the same thing. We request a benevolent outcome to not see another dog because one of my dogs just goes crazy, and she wants to go, bark, and she wakes up the whole neighborhood. So we try and keep that down to a minimum.
So, go ahead, Taz.
I was going to say, so let's be a little more descriptive here. What is the gentle way, and why do you say the book is a self-help guide for people who believe in angels? And that's kind of going back to the basic, I know, but I think we need to support people here as they begin their journey.
Okay. When you request a benevolent outcome, as an example, let's just take walking the dogs this morning. You say, I request the most benevolent outcome for my walk with my dog this morning. Thank you. And that benevolent outcome could be all sorts of things. I mean, what if the people live in a sort of a dangerous neighborhood? There's so many things that even can happen on something as simple as walking your dog. The dog gets away or, somebody has a wreck in front of you, whatever. There's just a lot of things that can happen in life, and this gives you a benevolent outcome. It puts you on the highest road of all the possibilities that can happen while you're doing that particular event. It gives you the highest outcome.
Hmm. So does everyone have this capability, Tom? And people are going to question this, even though we have done it and we have had success. Stepping out and using this form, doesn't people kind of go, what do I do? What do I start it on this? And they feel uncomfortable. Is there any specific way to really ask for a most benevolent outcome?
No, it's really, I tried to make it kind of structured because keep in mind when I started doing it, I sort of had no structure. I just had to invent my own and it just seemed to work, and it gives you a structure because, some people talk about calling in, I think there's a book or two out about calling in your angels, a counting angel, or all sorts of different kinds of angels, and before long, you just forget to do that. But when you have this one simple sentence that you say where I request a most benevolent outcome for, and it has to be for you individually. It has to be for something specific. And you always say thank you at the end to thank your guardian angel that's assisting you in this, because your guardian angel will joyfully loves you to death, and your guardian angel will take care of you and do and help you with all these even small, minor, mundane events in life, but you have to ask because they're not allowed to interfere with your life unless you ask.
And the more you do it, the more often you actually are talking to your angel. So I would think that would open up the channel to be even louder and more clear.
It does, absolutely. You start getting those feelings where it's that intuition, that inspiration, or as my guardian angel Theo now calls it, he calls it the whisper in my ear, okay? And that's, and I really didn't realize that would ever increase that part of what I do when I started doing this. I mean, I was kind of a happy guy just to have found this fantastic tool that works so great. And over and over and over again, you know, I've requested benevolent outcomes 10 or 15,000 times at least, and over the years, and I was happy with that. And then lo and behold, in 2005, I discovered that I could actually speak with my guardian angel directly, so that helped too.
So when you're asking for a benevolent outcome, that gives the opportunity to be even better than what you thought that a good outcome could be.
Yes, exactly. And especially sometimes I'll say if it's a real mundane request like walking the dog or something or something on that order, then you just say, I request the most benevolent outcome for walking my dog, or I request the most benevolent outcome for my drive to the post office. But if it's something maybe a little bit more complicated, let's say you've got someone out there that is looking for a job and they're going on an interview. They can say, I request a most benevolent outcome for this interview, and may it be even better than I can hope for or expect. And
yes.
And what that opens up for is for your guardian angel to get really creative, and maybe that job isn't for that person, but that person will be pushed to tell you that that there's another job with another company that you'd be perfect for, something on that order.
Ooh, that's heavy.
Now,
you know what? What a beautiful Thanksgiving gift for us to have you on.
That's why we asked you to be with us today. We thought this is a perfect interview for Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, it is.
It's benevolent.
Well, you know, Tom, you've even gone into deeper aspects that, you know, the normal person wouldn't think about right away, but you've also, in your a chapter in your book, you've devoted to benevolent outcomes in very dangerous places like war zones or
uh-huh.
even dangerous, you know, parts of urban cities. So, to me, this is wonderful. You can really maybe support your loved ones in this special way, too.
Well, yes, and that's where it comes into play as far as you can say, I request a most benevolent outcome for my son or my daughter to come back from Iraq safe and sound, thank you. But you can also say this benevolent prayer where you can say, I ask that any and all beings assist, comfort, and keep safe my son or my daughter in Iraq until they return back to me, thank you. And so when you ask for things for yourself, you request benevolent outcomes, and you say, I request. When you ask for something for someone else, you say, I ask, because it's a whole different set of angels. My guardian angel Theo tells me that there's a little over 1 million whole souls that we call angels, and these whole souls have volunteered for prayer duty. And so when you say a prayer, when you say one of these benevolent prayers, it's acted on instantly.
Wow.
Now, when did you start receiving messages directly from your angel?
Back in July of 2005, Dick Sekfen was going to have a seminar in Sedona, Arizona, and it was called Increasing Your Psychic Abilities. Well, I had been to two or three of his seminars before. My wife had never been, and she wanted to go because she had been listening to his CDs and using them, and so she wanted to go and get more information. So I said, great, I'll go for her. And so we went, and naturally the thing that happened, he was going to have a session where he was going to put everyone into an alpha state in order to do automatic writing. And at that time, I had gotten to know and become friends with Robert Shapiro, who had started me on the path, and had a Indian shaman from the 1600s that had talked to me, and I'd asked him if my sole contract was to support Robert's work, and I was told no. And I didn't ask why at that time, and I kept wondering about that, and finally I decided, well, I'm going to try and contact this Indian shaman myself during this time period and see if I can have that question answered. And so after we were put into that alpha state, I said, okay, reveals the mysteries, are you there? And he said, yes, I am, Tom. I said, oh, that's neat. And so I asked him, and he said, well, you're an Indian shaman. In the same time period, your name is Stillwater, and you have decided that you're going to reincarnate into the 20th and 21st centuries to reintroduce people to the gentle way. And I was given the name of the book the first time I ever talked to him.
I just got a chill on that one. You actually have a newsletter, which I always look forward to receiving, and it has messages from your guardian angel, plus it gives a lot of examples. People write in all about their own MBOs, and I just enjoy your newsletter. I look forward to it. So when did you start actually writing your newsletter?
About 1 year ago, just almost exactly 1 year ago. I decided to try doing it. I also do a monthly column in the Sedona Journal of Emergence, and I also do articles for regional and international national magazines. I know I've got one that'll be coming up fairly soon on beliefnet.com that has a really large audience. If anyone knows that.
I'm looking forward to reading that. That's Belief. What did you say?
It's called beliefnet.com. I think they have, 700,000 to a million people on there daily or something like that. It's a pretty large website. And so I do send out this weekly newsletter, and the people that write me and tell me their stories in the weekly newsletter normally wind up in the Sedona Journal, the stories that I compile for a monthly column.
Now, is there another book that will be coming out with all these MBOs that you're receiving?
My next book is going to be about my conversations with my guardian angel, okay? And it's actually mostly written now. I just haven't started really editing it to get it ready to go. But I hope to have it out certainly in the first half of 2009, maybe the first quarter or 4 months.
Now, do you have a particular time every day that you sit down and receive messages?
I try and do it four times a week. And for me, I do this meditation, and I explain even in the book, The Gentle Way, at the back, how I do the meditation. It's a real simple meditation. And I just put myself into an alpha state, and then I start asking to speak to whatever being I want to speak to in the universe, because you literally can speak to any being in the universe as long as you don't have the block saying, oh, no, I can't. So I do this at 6 a.m. I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question.
Well, that's a good quiet time to do it.
Yeah.
So when you say we can speak to any being, if we have a problem, maybe a computer problem or a different type of problem, can we ask to talk to an angel that could help us with that?
Possibly. I haven't tried that. That's a good question. I just haven't tried asking for that specific thing, and that's something for someone to explore and find out if they can. Now, one of the things that I asked this morning, I had someone that emailed me and asked me if a certain person was right for her, okay? And you can say, I request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect mate for me. I mean, you could say the perfect man, the perfect woman, whatever. The perfect mate for you. You can also say, I request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect house if you're looking for a house or a home. I request a most benevolent outcome for the perfect job for me. So you can ask these things. But this particular lady was asking if a certain person was right for her. And this was what I was told by Theo, my guardian angel. Said, we don't normally give advice in love matters, Tom. She should be receiving this advice in the form of intuition, inspiration, or those whispers in your ear that each guardian angel for that person continually sends. What is her gut feeling about this person, Tom? How compatible do they feel for her? When she asks these questions of herself, does she get a warm sensation in her belly? We are there to assist, but as I've said before, we cannot tell you directly to take this road or that road. You came to Earth to learn how to do these things and to learn to recognize the feelings involved with such choices. So tell this lady and all your readers to open up and feel. You will notice something that tells you to go this way or that way, or yes on that decision or no on this decision. Again, we are there to assist. Just open up your hearts and trust your feelings. Don't try and override them.
Well,
and that was just this morning.
Wow. Now, you did an MBO. You did an MBO to actually, I read an MBO, where you could actually meet interesting people, like on your trip or if you take a flight in an airplane, you could do an MBO to ask for, you know, maybe an interesting person to sit by you. So I thought that was really a great MBO. And so if somebody was looking for a mate, could they say, ask an MBO to say, take me to a place where I may be able to meet a person that would be compatible with me?
Sure. And again, you're sort of getting into a, you know, if you ask for the perfect mate for you, your guardian angel is going to set up those things that will happen, that you'll actually wind up going to that place. But if you're going to a certain place, let's just say you're going, you've got somebody out there that's going to a nightclub, and they say, okay, I request a most benevolent outcome for my time at the nightclub, and may I meet someone really interesting for me. Okay. Now, at the same time, keep in mind, for those that are sexually active, and I put this in the book, you can say, I request a most benevolent outcome for my safety and my health during my relationship tonight or with this person or whatever.
I would say that would be important.
Yeah, very.
Can you give an example when you personally have flown on a plane and requested to meet an interesting person during your journey, or has?
Well, something... sure. One of the things that happened to me, and keep in mind, that particular benevolent outcome was given to me by one of my readers. I had not thought about that before. So people are thinking about benevolent outcomes all the time that I haven't thought of before. In this particular case, I was emailed by a nice gentleman in St. Louis, and he had said that he had used it on a trip back from Africa and wound up with a fantastic conversation with someone that was really into metaphysics and had even put on metaphysical shows and all. So in my case, the first time I used it was on a trip to Washington, D.C., when they had this book fair. It's a national book fair they have every year. This year it's going to be, I think, in Los Angeles. And so when I went there, when I was coming back, I requested a benevolent outcome for my trip to back to Dallas. And when I sat down, I was the first one in the seat. It was a two-seat on the left-hand side of a plane. It was, I think, American Airlines. And a girl sat down next to me, and I looked at her, and I thought, well, she doesn't look that interesting to talk to, but who knows. And then a gentleman came to the back, and he asked her, would you like to trade seats with me? Well, it turned out that he had seen her talking to her friend and saw that they were split up, and so he offered to give her his seat that was next to her friend. And so she said, oh, great, yes, thank you. And he sat down. Well, it turned out he was the buyer for a chain of 130 bookstores.
Ooh,
I got
wow.
to bend his ear on the way back to Dallas about my book.
Oh, wow, that was great.
Yeah.
Great example.
Yeah. Well, look, you have also, you've talked about people that are maybe concerned for identity theft or, you know, even theft in your belongings when you're traveling or something. And, again, you know, you kind of wonder how this is possible, how you can be protected from these aspects.
Well, I do, and I've been in places. I mentioned, I think, in the book, I think I mentioned it there, that I actually had to go to Barcelona just for one night on a connection that was going to go the next day back to the United States. And the hotel that I went into or stayed at in Barcelona, the first thing they said was, well, if you go out to dinner, be sure to watch for pickpockets. And I'm sort of used to that in Europe anyway, because especially like in Cannes during a big TV market, or I used to go to the Cannes Film Festival every year, and gosh, the pickpockets from all over Europe love to go down to the Riviera and earn their living on the streets in Cannes. And you just have to really request benevolent outcomes, and you'll be okay.
So, and no matter where you go, you can request your angel to be there to protect you.
Yeah.
There, sitting on your shoulder, as Theo tells me.
Well, we need to be more in touch with that, obviously. You also spoke about success in playing games, like in casinos or bingo or blackjack or something like that. What do you ask for when people want to go gambling?
Well, that was a chapter of the book that I had several people proofreading my book, and one of the people said, gosh, I don't think that you should have put anything in there about gambling. I'm really kind of against gambling. So I tell people that maybe that's a chapter that they want to skip, but there are other people that like to do that, and that's one of the things humans do. So guardian angels don't put any, you know, pluses or minus because we do that. And the first time that it really happened really well for me, my family and I were on a cruise of the Caribbean out of Houston, and on the very last day of the cruise, they had a cover-all bingo, and I wound up winning, splitting half of a pot of $8,400, and it paid for the whole cruise because we'd gone on the same cruise before and requested a benevolent outcome, and they'd had a little flood on one of the floors, and so they gave everybody the offer of 50% off on your next cruise. And so we took the same cruise again the next year. So,
so even a flood can act in your favor.
Because the flood wasn't on my floor. It didn't affect me. So so anyway, that happened. And then just in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, I received an email from one of my readers, and she said, I went on this cruise, Alaskan cruise, and I hadn't had a chance to read your book yet. I'd gotten it, but I didn't take it on the trip. But I had already read about requesting benevolent outcomes, and so she requested a benevolent outcome for winning at bingo. And she had never won at bingo. Her sister was always the one winning at bingo. And lo and behold, not only her husband won a $250 pot, but she won the coverall on the last day of the cruise, and she won $2,000. And what was interesting, she said, my last number was number 71, and it's page 71 on your book that you talk about winning at bingo.
Oh, my
gosh. Wow. Well, when you go on a cruise, this is going to sound cynical, but you would not want too many people that knew about MBOs to be on the same cruise with you.
Well, you know, it has to, when you request a benevolent outcome, it has to be benevolent for not only you, but everyone involved in the request. So just in my case, I split the pot because obviously there was a reason for that other family that, you know, to have that benevolent outcome of winning half that pot.
That's really a great way to look at things. Because
yeah.
When you're asking for a benevolent outcome, you can actually be helping all the ones around you.
Absolutely, because the person that actually said bingo was a boy that was sitting right next to me in a room filled with over 300 or 400 people. And everyone, I'm sure, thought he was my son, but he was the son of in the family. And the family wasn't very happy that I had won half the pot, but I was thrilled. I was congratulating them, and you know, I was just thrilled. But they were sort of looking at the glass sort of half empty instead of half full.
Oh. Well, in your appendix section of the book, there's an unusual aspect. It talks about bonus points.
Uh-huh.
Can you talk a little bit about those bonus points?
Oh, let's see. let me I'll have to grab a book and talk about bonus points. The one of the things that I want, you know, as I said, I wanted to get into on this show today was the fact that a lot of people are very stressed about finances and everything. And
mm-hmm.
And in my bonus points, I talk about some of the other things that I do that I think would be of assistance to people these days. And one of the things is not in the appendix. This has come up that I've been testing out recently. I say recently, within the last, say, year, and it was working great. And so I even asked Theo about it, and he said that yes, it does work. So one of the things I say every single morning is I'll get to it in a second. It's funny how you have a blank when you're saying something every day, and suddenly it goes out on you.
I think the mind is divided sometimes, and you're trying to remember everything going on.
In three or different different directions. Here it goes. I request great things today. I request great things tomorrow, and I'm requesting great things all this week. Now, my guardian angel Theo says that when you do that, you're removing blocks that might even be even past life related, where you had sworn to be poverty to be in poverty, you know, perhaps as a priest or a nun or something like that, and it allows you to have abundance in your life. So again, I request great things today. I'm expecting great things today. I'm expecting great things tomorrow, and I'm expecting great things all this week. I'm sorry, messed up the saying, but hopefully I do have it on my website. You can even print out that sign on my website, which is www.thegentlewaybook.com, and you can print out that sign, and you can also print out a sign that says request benevolent outcomes today.
Wow, that's really great to have for what's going on in today's world.
Now, I was going to go back to the appendixes. When I started out many, many years ago as a young man and had my first business, which was a tour business in Dallas, I read an astrology prediction in the Dallas Morning News that said that the Dallas Cowboys were not going to win, not going to the Super Bowl that year, but would go to the Super Bowl the next year. Now, at that time, they'd never been to a Super Bowl. This was in the late 60s. And so I said, gosh, I've never read anything like that. So I tore the story out of the paper. I stuck it in my desk drawer, dragged it out at the end of the season. He had hit on about 80% of the reasons why they didn't make the playoffs or didn't make the Super Bowl that year. And so I reserved 300 seats, airplane seats, a year in advance down to Miami. And I turned out to be the very first tour operator in Dallas to ever run a trip to the Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Now, after that, I started saying, I don't know how this astrology works, but I'm going to study it. And so that's one of the tools that I put in my toolbox was learning about astrology and how things can be affected by the heavenly planets. And I started having all my business was a snow ski club where I actually took people to Colorado and New Mexico every week skiing. And I started having all my monthly parties with benevolent aspects like Venus, Trine, Mars, or the moon, or what have you. And my ski club doubled and tripled in size, and to the point where I started my own travel agency and eventually my own tour company, which I eventually sold to a conglomerate in Chicago. So,
well, your angel's been working with you for a long time.
A long time. You got to listen. Got to listen to those whispers in your ear. And
well, I guess we get our own CEO when we start using the MBOs. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. What about Theo?
I said, I guess we get our own CEO.
Yes.
In other words, we get our own guardian angel.
Yes, you do. And everyone has one of these whole souls, which are actually golden light beings, I've been told by Theo. And these guardian angels, there's over a million of them, and these are whole souls. They don't particularly like being called guardian angels. They prefer servants of the Creator. They all volunteered for this service, and they are taking care of an average, according to Theo, of 6,000 to 12,000 whole souls. This gets a little deep, but they basically people at one time in all of our lives simultaneously. And as an example, my soul has a soul group, a sort of a sub-soul group for Earth that there are eight of us. And so that means Theo is taking care of eight of us in all of our lives, okay? But Theo, because he's been around a long time, takes care of 19,000 souls.
Oh, my goodness.
So the ones that are asking questions actually get more of his time, it sounds like, or that are actually communicating.
They are, as Theo says, they are great multitaskers. And also keep in mind, Theo is not my guardian angel's real name. He told me that I would be unable to pronounce his name, that it's our vocal cords are not even made that way, and we become very frustrated. So he said, I don't care if you call me Tom, Dick, or Harry, but Tom would be a little difficult in your meditations. So he does have humor. And you do find a lot of humor on the other side of the veil. So keep that in mind. They're funny guys when they want to be.
Now, out of all the MBOs that you have received from other people, which one would stand out in your mind the most?
Oh, gosh. I get so many. That's hard. One of the funny ones that stands out immediately was a lady that wrote to me, and I put this even in the Sedona Journal and all, and it was called a Most Benevolent Outcome for Hot Tubs. Okay? And I thought, oh, that could go anywhere. And it turns out that the lady and her husband live on the coast of Oregon, and it's always kind of rainy or misty, a lot of times anyway, she said. And so every time they're going to go out on their hot tub on the porch, she requests a benevolent outcome for dry weather, and 95% of the time it is.
Well, there might be a drought in Oregon.
But only around that house, maybe, you know. That's one of the funny things. I put in the book that we were on Alaskan cruise. It was a Cryon cruise, as it was called, because we were doing a seminar with Lee Carroll, who channels Cryon. And that was in the book. But we all got together. I got to tell everyone in the Cryon group about benevolent outcomes, because I had not published the book yet. And a bunch of us were requesting benevolent outcomes for clear weather for our stops. And every single stop, the weather was clear, and they had predicted rain for every single stop.
Oh, my goodness, that's great.
So when people do that in numbers, I would think it would be even a stronger request.
It would. It is. And that's why Theo says that prayers are much more powerful than we can realize. So if, you know, 1,000 people suddenly say a prayer for the people in Mumbai, that's very, very powerful. And it may be millions of prayers. I mean, keep in mind, there's a lot of people that I'm sure have been saying prayers in their own form for the people involved in that disaster in Mumbai.
And
Paula and I should ask you to come and do a blog on our website and put a special prayer on our website for whatever you would like, you know, and have people join with you so that, you know, we can look at larger outcomes.
And they're saying that there could be a terrorist attack during the holidays in New York, so we could create a prayer to protect people from that.
Yes, I think you'll find that it won't happen, but it's always good to say something that you ask. I ask any and all beings to keep all the people safe and protected and all in New York during this coming holiday period. Thank you. Something in that word. You can use your own words. I'm just,
you know,
off
what,
the top of my head.
What I'm very thankful for with your MBOs is this would create people to feel protected. It would keep us from getting into the fear factor.
It absolutely does. It really, truly does. I've used things, requests for benevolent outcomes when I've had operations, and I have gone into them just with absolutely no fear whatsoever, and they were serious. Congestive heart failure for one.
Oh, wow. And so do you have a chapter on health in your book?
I don't know. Maybe some mentions, but certainly I've had people ask me for benevolent outcomes, and I put these into the newsletter where people have asked me for what type of benevolent outcomes to ask for cancer or things like that. My wife had breast cancer, and so when she went in for her breast surgery, we requested a benevolent outcome and all, and she has absolutely no cancer. Did not even need the radiation treatment or anything.
Wow. So you've actually, I mean, with your heart problem and your wife, your MBOs have really come in handy.
Yeah, they do. Keep in mind, I mean, this is, you know, this doesn't wipe out all the problems or challenges you have in your life. I mean, we're here on Earth to experience challenges, to learn and grow and all this other stuff. But what it does, it does put you on a higher path and the best outcome for that particular challenge that you possibly can have.
So saying this, because what happens is that when you ask for something, you're asking for the most benevolent, the most good to come from all of this. And that once you ask for it, you can, like you say, relax and realize you'll be getting the best outcome. And knowing that you're protected on all sides.
Yes. And that's it. You're walking with that guardian angel sitting on your shoulder.
Now, has Theo talked about before we even come in that we have certain lessons to learn, certain maybe even creating contracts before we come in? Has he spoke of this?
Yes, at length, which you can find in my back newsletters for someone that, you know, wants to go into those, or hopefully in the book they'll want to get. I'll have that in there. But we do all have soul contracts, and these contracts, I've gone into detail, which we wouldn't be able to get into today, where you have this sort of planning board, and you bring people in, other souls in that are going to interact with you during your life in different forms and ways, and so you have a soul contract that this would be the ideal life for me to have, with the highest learning and the most karma taken off or whatever, and then you get into the lives, and oft times you'll take a turn and you'll go in another direction, and so you'll have to go back to the planning board during your sleep time, and they redo it, but it's not as good a soul contract as it would have been had you stuck to what you were supposed to be doing all the way through.
So we actually can break our contract or change it.
Mm-hmm. We have free will.
So it's not as good as what we originally did if we happen to break it.
Exactly. You want to try and stick with the soul contract, because remember, you did that soul contract with full knowledge on the other side, and you're veiled here. You don't have any knowledge. So when you're requesting these benevolent outcomes, you're really pushing yourself more towards your soul contract path that you wanted to take.
You can head back onto the track so that you can rear back to where you were pointed in the original position.
Or at least, you know, if you're already taking the other road, I mean, supposedly none of them are wrong, but it's just not as high a road or fulfilling a road, then at least it will be the most fulfilling road that you possibly can take.
Well, what I can see happening is you may ask for MBO, and something happens and you think, why did that happen? That's not the most beloved outcome. But then you find out maybe a month down the line that had to happen for you to meet a person or for you to find out about a health problem. I mean,
exactly. And that's one of the things that you have to, that's why I suggest people use it for the small mundane things so you get trusting in it, because there'll be times when something will happen, you say, I don't understand. I thought I should have gotten that job, or I thought this should have happened, and you don't understand. Well, gosh, the MBOs are not working. I guess I'm going to give up on them. And if you've gotten that trust by requesting all the small stuff, when the big stuff comes along, then you can be patient. And that's one of the things that we have to learn in our lives is patience, along with compassion and love and all, but patience to watch to see how this unfolds and why that was the benevolent outcome for you.
Do people get in together in groups and use your book? Have you heard of this?
I've had people tell me that they bought 10 books for their friends. They give them to all their friends and everything. So I don't know about groups. I know when my group gets together, we're going to have dinner together Saturday night. We'll all be requesting benevolent outcomes for things, during the party and all.
So speaking of groups, gifts, we want to recommend your book as a gift. I mean, this is a perfect gift to give to your friends during the holiday season, and there's a special for the holiday season, and people can actually look at the special through our website, TAZZ and ANDPaulaShow.com, and this is the perfect time to give this wonderful book. I think it's a gift. And have you seen this book given to someone who has not been spiritual at all or into metaphysics or any of this, that they actually pick it up and use it and really start to become a believer?
I was just talking to one of my clients the other day who buys movies and TV shows and all to put out on video in the United States, and he's a Jewish man, and he's not really very metaphysical, but he said, Tom, he said, I keep your book on my desk, and every so often I just open the book and read it. And I was really, really surprised about that.
Well, I talked to someone in your publishing company, and the lady that worked there, she told me she uses it. So she says, oh,
yeah. I know. Yeah, several people in the publishing company have told me that they all request benevolent outcomes.
Once we start using this, it's very hard to give it up. You really realize that that you do have special angels on the other side helping you get to where you're supposed to be going.
So we want to remind people that they can look at past articles and on Tom's website, and that's thegentleway.com.
And that's the Gentleway book, thegentlewaybook.com. Got to put the book in there.
Book.com. And you can actually order a book. And this would be a great gift for yourself.
And it's a great deal that my publisher is putting on. If you'll go to Taz and Paula's website, I think you'll find it's a great deal. And it's something that if you give an angel book at Christmas time, it's something that can change their lives.
Well, we're ready to support that. Let's put it this way, in every direction we possibly can. And Tom, you're just you just have that magic about you. You have this incredible positive outlook and knowing how these things can happen. And I know, because you're using your MBOs all the time, that it's just a great state of mind to be in.
It is. And I mean, today I just got in a wire bank transfer for $13,361. I didn't even know was coming. it's just amazing. So
what was
it's fun.
Did you have a particular MBO that would have gone along in those lines, or is it the weekly one that you do?
Well, it's the one I do monthly that says, I request the most benevolent outcome for being able to pay all of my expenses and bills and all each month. Thank you.
Oh, well, Taz, listen to that one. We'll have to do that.
We'll have to. Yeah, you know, it's like getting routed in the right direction and setting up your MBOs questions and paying attention. You know, it'll pay off. It'll pay off in that you can relax and know that you're being taken care of.
Well, one thing I can see that can come of all of this is you will become more aware of the gifts that are given to you, and you can become more grateful when they come in. Because a lot of us receive gifts from the universe, and we just kind of take it for granted, you know. And so this makes our awareness much sharper.
And that's why I always tell people, now, I didn't do this when I first started out, and I understand your guardian angel will help you whether you say this or not, but I always say thank you. And when I get the benevolent outcome, I try and say thank you, thank you, thank you, just as my way of saying out loud to my guardian angel, I thank you for your assistance and inspiration.
And I recognize what you've gifted me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And recognition is part of the process, I think, that when you see something happen, and sometimes it's so funny, you say, I know my guardian angel is laughing, you know, his head off if he had one, that this particular thing happened. And it's just being able to recognize and see these events come together like a jigsaw puzzle sometimes, and how they one maybe stacks on one top of one another to give you that benevolent outcome. It's just really amazing.
One time I had a flight, and the lady next to me, she was just a chatterbox. And so coming back, I thought, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want anyone sitting next to me that would talk. I said, even a monk. And do you know a monk sat next to me?
Well, and you can request, instead of asking for an interesting person to sit next to, you can ask for a benevolent outcome for someone that will not talk at all so you can sleep or you can
uh-huh.
work.
That's what I asked for. Cause
there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Well, it's been delightful having you with us today. And we want to remind everyone that's listening to be sure to look into The Gentle Way and look at the gentlewaybook.com and actually order it. And Taz and Paula show.com actually has a great deal for everyone that's listening today so that they can actually order the book for themselves and for friends during the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So the gift of an angel, and that's how we regard you, Tom.
Thank you. And I ask the most benevolent outcome for everyone to have a great time in reading the book and a benevolent outcome that it does change your lives. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And this is the Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula Nunes.
And I'm Taz Powers.
And we've been with Tom T. Moore, the author of The Gentle Way. And thank you for listening.